Much on my mind of late has been the indispensable nature of the Word of God. Through several occurrences, conversations, etc., that have happened over the last few weeks, that has been refreshed in my mind. How important it is that we guide our all by the Word of God. So tonight, that is our topic, and I ask that you would continue in prayer that it would be profitable for us. Please turn to Acts chapter 3, the indispensable Word of God. In Acts chapter 3, we read in verse 19, by Peter, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Since the beginning, throughout all the Old Testament, the prophets were speaking and anticipating this Jesus Christ. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Does that sound like a prophet you want to make sure you hear? Because if you don't hear him, and if you don't heed him, you will be destroyed from among the people. This is Jesus Christ. And so we read in John chapter 1 about this prophet of prophets. Just as he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, he is the prophet of prophets, the ultimate, the final prophet. The one that would not only fulfill the prophecies that the previous prophets spoke of him, but he himself would fulfill the role of a prophet like no other prophet had. So we'll read here in John chapter 1, in verse 14. "And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, bearing witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." John came along the scene. Some thought, maybe this is the one. Maybe he's the great one. But John says, no, the one that is coming after me, Jesus of Nazareth, he is preferred before me. And yea, he was even before me. Because he is the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, the true prophet, the Word of God made flesh. The Word of God, the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, also, we will read about this Word of God. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness or the radiance, think of the brightest thing you've ever experienced, a lot brighter, the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. The exact expression of God. Wow. The exact expression. Not a paraphrase. Not an estimate. The exact expression of God. And this Greek word is kerygtos. Sounds like character. The character of God is fulfilled within this Son of God, the Word made flesh, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Word of God in the flesh, the express image of God Himself. If you're looking at Jesus Christ, you are looking at God. The ultimate prophet. What is the prophet? The prophet is essentially the administration of the words of God, the speech of God. And Jesus Christ fulfills this character. So when we consider the Word of God, the indispensable Word of God, it is in its fullness. This idea that's shown in the Bible, it is Jesus Christ Himself. He is God Himself. He is the expression perfectly of God. Well, in John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, we see the implication of this word. What are some of the descriptions of the Word of God? John chapter 14. We'll just read in verse 6. Jesus saith unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, the life. So the great prophet, the Word of God, the one who is the exact expression of God, He is the truth. Well, that fits, right? We know God is truth. We know God, He doesn't have some truth. He doesn't relay truth as one of His qualities. He is truth. God equals truth. Truth equals God. And outside of God is not truth. So Jesus Christ, as the Word, the exact expression of God, He is the truth. Well, this is our foundation, as some may have been under the studying at camp around our foundations. The truth. Is the truth that big of a deal? Is the truth a take-it-or-leave-it proposition? Is it even definite? Is it relative? Is what's true in Asia maybe not true in the United States of America? Or what's true at Grace Chapel might not be true over at Ripley? Is it relative? Or is it definite? Does it have a definite source. Is it Jesus Christ? Yes, it is Jesus Christ. Now, one more from the Gospels is Mark chapter 1. Here we see Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in action. He's already spent the first chapter of Mark exhibiting His power, exhibiting the fact that He is the Messiah, that He is the Word of God by many acts. And we read in verse 22, it says, "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." This teacher, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, He taught as one that had authority. There was something about Him. It was a lot more powerful than that. Can you imagine if you had, you know this, you know that God is truth. Whatever God says, whatever God does, whatever God wills, it is truth. Can you imagine having a teacher before you? Every single utterance from His mouth was true. It wasn't close, it wasn't 99%, it was exact truth. Wow. Oh, to have a teacher like Jesus Christ. To have, that would be an indispensable teacher, wouldn't it? I mean, you would give up your whole retirement to have your children in that school. The teacher who had perfect truth coming out of His mouth and nothing else. Perfect truth. Jesus Christ, I am the truth. Well, Jesus got on to the Pharisees, the ones that were around Him, that thought they knew what the truth was. They thought they had it down. They had the Old Testament. They knew it like the back of their hand. And He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life." And they, the Scriptures, are they that testify of Me. The Scriptures aren't the end all. You're not supposed to be looking at the Scriptures for your salvation, for your life. The Scriptures just as a scroll, don't find your security in that. Look to what they're pointing you to. They're pointing to Me, Jesus Christ. They're pointing to the truth. So yes, the Scripture is true, but you don't rest just in the fact that you know the truth. Oh, I know the Scriptures, so I know the truth. If you're not seeing Jesus Christ, you're missing the boat completely. Well, most likely the most famous passage concerning the Scriptures, which we also call the Word of God, is 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's go there and consider this. 2 Timothy 3:16. So Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father. He is the exact expression of God. He is truth. Whatever comes out of His mouth is truth. It perfectly aligns with God because He is God. Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, we read about something else that has been spoken by God. All Scripture, the written Word of God that you hold in your hands. All Scripture, all of it, just like all the words of Jesus, are true. Not take it or leave it. Not the teacher that was sometimes off his game. And you say, well, I better go back and, you know, fact check him. Every word, truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is breathed by God. It is the very Word of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Some striking similarities with the incarnate Word of God, God in the flesh, the Word of God. Striking similarities. Breathed of God, the very Word of God. Sounds like a great teacher. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Is this not Jesus Christ Himself when He lived on earth? And we read in the Gospels that He was thoroughly furnished to provide all the instruction, correction, instruction in righteousness, reproof. He had the whole pool of resources, if you will, to perfectly apply the truth to every person's situation. The perfect reproof when someone was doing something wrong. Not too harsh, not too lenient, just right. When someone was in desperate straits, the perfect words of encouragement. When someone was ignorant, the perfect words of instruction. The perfect teacher, the very Word of God. The Scripture is this for us today. That the man of God may be perfect or matured, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if we had Jesus Christ sitting here before us today, would you even think about going somewhere else for your answers? You know He has the answers. You know because He's God. You know He's infinite in knowledge. He's infinitely wise and He's infinitely loving to you. So He's always going to give you the very best answer, reproof, instruction, correction that you need. If He was standing here before us today, there's no way any of you would say, you know, I'm going to go down to University of Memphis instead. No, it's all right here. Everything you need, you know this. Any naysayers? As Christians, we believe this of Jesus Christ. But the Word of God here, this written Word of God, says that the Scripture itself is fulfilling this in for you and me today. But what is it fulfilling? Is it fulfilling just to be a good manual for life? So you can live a good life and not get into trouble? Maybe even live a prosperous life sometimes? So you can memorize a bunch of verses and be able to say, I've got the book of Hebrews memorized or the book of Luke. I'm pretty smart, right? Is the Word of God just a natural instructor? Is it just a natural teacher? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Ye think ye have eternal life in these Scriptures, but the Scriptures are leading you to Jesus Christ. So in this passage, we read that the Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for all these things. It is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. But what is the end of this fact? The end of this fact is not just so that I can be a complete man. The end of this fact is that I can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That I can know Jesus Christ through His Word. And what did Jesus Christ say in about chapter 15 of the book of John when he was telling his people that he was about to leave? We had you right here. We had you in front. You were telling us all these great teachings, and now you're about to leave. I would get pretty nervous about that too. I'm about to lose our perfect teacher, the very Word of God. What did he say? He said, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things. So he's given us his Word, that is the inspired Word of God. It is the breathed Word of God. But he's also given you and me his Spirit. And if that is an indication, proof, that you are born again, that you have spiritual life, that you can understand, discern spiritual things. And so you can come to the Word of God. The Word of God. Not the word of Aristotle. Not the word of Plato or Confucius or any other person. The Word of God, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can feast on His Word, and you can learn from His Word, and you can be instructed thoroughly, all of your questions answered by His Word through the working of the Holy Spirit, and you can experience the knowledge and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would we not scoff at a man who knew the Word of God academically? You know, backwards and forward, we say, and he maybe glory in the fact that he knows the Word of God so well. And we would be quick to say, you're missing the point, man. Don't you realize this is the story of Jesus Christ? It's not just an academic exercise. It's not a good instruction booklet. This is the story of Jesus Christ. The indispensable Word of God. So the passage, Timothy tells us that this Word of God that we have here before us today, approved by Jesus Christ. You think you need Jesus Christ standing here in front of you today? Well, He has given you the Word of God, and He's given you His Spirit. And it has what you need to know about Him, to know about how we are saved, and to come into a fuller knowledge and maturity in our walk, in our faith with Jesus Christ. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So, if you go to the hall back there, number 2 on our Articles of Faith says that the Word of God is our only rule of faith and practice, essentially based upon this passage. Why is it our only rule of faith and practice? Why don't we endorse any other particular documents? Not even a confession of faith. Not the greatest book from a natural standpoint ever written by the smartest philosopher. Why is the Word of God our only rule of faith and practice? Do you want to trust anything besides what you know to be 100% always true? The very words of God. That is why the Word of God is our only rule of faith and practice. That is why it must be interpreted within itself. It is the final authority. It's the final authority as a church body, how we operate, if you will, what we believe, to be sure. It's a final authority for our families, which this one highly convicts me right now because I've struggled with family worship. 5 years into marriage and I haven't got that figured out. But this is convicting because the words of God, they are authoritative for my family. And it is my obligation and privilege to make my family centered around this authoritative Word of God. It's authoritative. By authoritative, we mean not only that it's true, but that it's thorough furniture. It has everything that you need. Does it answer the question, do I need to go to the grocery store today? We do not entertain foolish questions in this Bible study. It has all the answers you need. It's also authoritative in your personal life. And this is the one that has so impressed me recently, especially. Because what can we do if we move away and we discount the authority and the indispensable nature of the Word of God, is that over time we'll begin to come up with our own statements of faith, if you will. We'll come up with our own line of reasonings. We'll come up with our own justification for doing this or that. Or zealous without knowledge. There have been some zealous people that were doing things in the name of Jesus Christ. They were zealous. They had a lot of passion. Maybe we are guilty of this ourselves sometimes. You're zealous, but are you under the authority of the Word of God? Isn't it easy for us to self-justify ourselves and our actions? Oh, it's going to be a great end. It's for, does the end justify the means? The question is, does the Word of God justify the means? The Word of God, nothing else. Sometimes you have new revelations, supposedly, that are supposedly true. Well, we must compare them, put them under the authority, submit them to the authority of the very Word of God, of Jesus Christ. Other books, other religious books that claim to have new revelation, that's an issue. Maybe it's someone who said they went to heaven for a day and saw some amazing things. That sounds outrageous, but it's not. What does the Word of God have to say about that? Every area of life, we must constantly... I know I'm a Christian. I go to work. I go to church sometimes 3 times a week. I must be in the right area, right? We can become lax if we're not careful. So the exhortation, the necessity of keeping the Word of God in our own minds as being indispensable, non-negotiable. What about the area of Christian liberty? That's a great idea, right? Liberty sounds great. We're not under the law, so we can enjoy all these things in life, and it's great. I get to do practically, unless it's expressly forbidden in the Word of God, practically whatever I want to under the name of Christian liberty. Well, what does the Word of God actually say about Christian liberty? You've been released from the bondage of sin, and now you are at liberty to serve Jesus Christ. Because you actually could not serve Jesus Christ before when you were in the bondage of sin. If it's not of faith, it's of sin. When you've been freed from the bondage of sin, you can live in faith. You can live in a way that pleases God. That is our liberty as Christians. And if we're not careful to mark that against the Word of God, we can easily take that great idea and go the wrong direction. Lots of examples. It's critical for us that we consider the Word of God not as just a textbook, but as Jesus Christ himself. Finally authoritative. And you know what? The good news is, it doesn't have to be dry. It doesn't have to be mundane. It's not just facts. Because as we mentioned, the Word of God, it doesn't just tell us about Jesus. It is the story of how God saved you and me by Jesus Christ. It fills our hearts. It helps us understand the power of the Holy Spirit, not only to teach us His Word, but to live out His Word. To live out His Word in lives of joy, patience, hope, long-suffering, the fruits of the Spirit. We learn about these. We learn how to develop them. We learn how to live in a truly Christian way by the Word of God. So may it be authoritative for you. May it be indispensable in your mind that whatever time, whatever space, whatever decision, as a church, individually, as a family, as a marriage, that the Word of God is indispensable and authoritative in your life. May God bless us to your lives.